In the first reading today, we hear about Elijah. He's running for his life from an evil king who wants to kill him. And as he's running, he runs out into the desert. And after a day's journey, he's just like, oh, it's too much. He sees this tree. He goes down underneath it and says, it's enough, O Lord. Let me die. It's just too much. But God sends his angel because he still has a purpose for Elijah. And says, get up and eat, lest the journey be too much for you. And so he sees this little bit of bread and some water. And he drinks and he eats and says, you know what? I was really comfortable. I'm going to go back to napping. And the angel comes back and kicks him in the side and says, get up, or else the journey will be too much for you. Oh, okay. So he eats and drinks. And then it says, he walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God, Horeb. That he's able, through the strength of this bread, this angelic bread, to be able to go and do tremendous things. And this, which is just a sign of the Eucharist, a sign of what is to come with Jesus, as he says, not only will you be eating the bread of angels, you will be eating the very flesh of the Son of God. Something even better. It's almost like he says, but wait, there's more. That we've got even better than what we saw in the Old Testament. We see this Eucharist, which is to feed us and strengthen us and nourish us. Do we recognize what God does for us in the Eucharist? Do we accept that strength and courage that we need day to day for our lives? I think about all the people over the course of history who have been strengthened over and over and over by the power of the Eucharist. In the last century, I can think of two examples specifically of people and how they then wrote about this. The first is a bishop from Vietnam. During the communist era, while he was there in the, I think it was late 70s and through the 80s and into the 90s, he was in prison for 13 years, and I think something like 10 of those were in solitary confinement or something like this, only for being a bishop, only for being a Catholic. It's the only reason he was arrested and put into this solitary confinement or the prison camps and the indoctrination sessions. While he was there, he said he got grabbed. He didn't have a chance to grab anything for himself. He just got arrested and taken off. But they said, you can write to your people and ask for things that you need. So he writes to them saying, send me a little wine for my stomach aches. Well, the faithful understood right away, and so they sent him a little bottle of wine that says medicine for stomach aches on it. And the guard looks at him and says, you have stomach aches? And he says, yes. Here's medicine for you. And he says, I cannot share with you the joy I had at celebrating Mass with three drops of wine and a drop of water in the palm of my hand. This was my altar. This my cathedral. He talks about how, you know, these were the best masses of his life, the most profound, the deepest, as he got closest to Almighty God. As he said, I felt in my flesh that I was being crucified with Almighty God. And then in those times when he was able to be in the general population of the prison camps, he said that he would bend over his bunk at night, and they were given 50 centimeters of space, each of them. Now, thinking about that, not too many Americans could probably fit in that. But if you're not eating a whole lot, you'll probably be able to slim down to that 50 centimeters of space. But so he's there, and he is bends over at night, secretly celebrating Mass, and the other Christians around him watching him and adoring the Lord with him. He said that he would then go out, as every week they had this indoctrination session with the whole camp, and they would slip the Eucharist to each of the other groups from the camp so that everyone could receive the Eucharist. And he says, everyone knew God was in their midst. He said, receiving the Eucharist is what kept me strengthened for all that I had to endure in those days. In those years, strengthened his faith strengthened his body and his mind to keep focused on that which was important, Almighty God. The second story I'm remembering is about a Jesuit American who went over to Russia during the Second World War in order to evangelize. Well, while he was over there, it ended up that he wasn't able to do a whole lot of evangelization, and then he was arrested as a Vatican spy, because after all, the Vatican needs a lot of spies out there. What's with that? But in any case, he goes out and for the first 5 years of his imprisonment, he's in solitary confinement. He has no option for being able to receive communion, no option for celebrating Mass. As he's there and he's in agony with that, he makes spiritual communions and he continues to pray and he celebrates, says the words of the Mass every day so he can keep it fresh in his mind. But he says that he literally hungered for the bread of life. When finally he was able to go and work in the prison camps in Siberia, which isn't exactly the best thing to do, but for 17 years he was there, he said he made an effort every day to celebrate Mass at an extreme risk to himself and to the other people who were with him hearing Mass. He said, but these Masses were incredible because people knew that they needed our Lord for the strength to get through each day. In fact, you remember, those of you who are old enough to remember before Vatican II, you couldn't eat anything from midnight until the time you received communion. Right now we have an hour fast, which if Father speaks for a long, long, long time, that means about 10 or 15 minutes before Mass, you can still be eating and you're not breaking the fast. Not much of a fast there. But prior to Vatican II, you couldn't eat anything all morning, and in fact, that's why a lot of people for the late Masses had the smelling salts to wake people up if they passed out, because they hadn't had anything to eat all morning. Some of you are like, yeah, I remember that, Father. Oh, yep, I had to be woken up a few times. Well, it wasn't just people who were falling asleep during the homily either. But so, they knew, back before Vatican II, they knew they couldn't receive anything to eat before receiving communion. And so they would have their little bits of bread for breakfast that they just had to keep in their pocket. But they said it was worth it. It was worth it not to eat and do half a day's labor in order to be able to receive communion. And in fact, some people couldn't get the Eucharist until the evening, or you wouldn't be able to celebrate Mass or whatever. And they'd go the whole day doing hard labor without anything to eat. And he said, no one complained. No one complained. And this isn't like, we walked uphill both ways with no shoes, with feet snow up to this, and we liked it. We ate dirt because that's all we had. It wasn't that. It was that they realized what it was that they had, and they said, this is worth it. Almighty God is worth it. And he gave them the strength day by day by day in order to continue on through the struggles of each day. It's interesting to note, if it were illegal to celebrate Mass, would we go out searching? Would we be longing for the bread of life? Would we go and seek that underground church in order that we might be able to receive Almighty God? He longs for us. And in his giving of the Eucharist, we are fed and strengthened and given courage. This is the grace of Almighty God, that he gives us the bread of life. He fills us with life. But too often in our very comfortable society, we don't think we need anything beyond ourselves. And so we're not open to that grace of life that God gives us. May we truly open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to be able to receive the fullness of the Eucharist this day and each time we come to communion, that we may come to Almighty God and that he may strengthen us through our daily trials, through our daily crosses, to be able to climb the mountain of holiness each day, getting closer to Almighty God.